In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of the prophet Zechariah, the father of the forerunner, and also his wife, the righteous Elizabeth. We read about them in greatest detail in the first chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both elderly, and Elizabeth had been barren, and of course they had prayed for children. And just as an aside, we see this throughout the scriptures where women without children pray for children, and it should be a reminder to us in our day where people see children as a problem and try to find ways to avoid having them and don't like being around children, that we should be welcoming of children. Children are a blessing of the Lord. And so they prayed for that blessing, and finally an angel appeared to Zechariah while he was in the temple offering up incense at the altar of incense. In those days, there were so many descendants of the priests, so many priests who were eligible to serve in the temple, that they had courses. In other words, there were various clans of priests, and they had to take turns serving in the temple. But this, his turn had come. He was part of that particular course, and he was serving. And the angel appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." When it talks about him drinking neither wine nor strong drink, St. John the Baptist lived the life of a Nazarite. We read about them in the Law of Moses. And basically, Nazarites were the Old Testament version of monastics. They were people who dedicated themselves to God. In most cases, that dedication was not permanent, but in some cases it was. So St. John the Baptist as a Nazarite would not have drank wine. He would have lived an ascetic life, and he also would not have cut his hair. But this angel appears to Zechariah and tells him, "Your prayers are answered." But of course, Zechariah is advanced in years, and he said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is also old." And the angel answered him and said, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and will not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their own time." So because Zechariah doubted, he was told that he would not be able to speak. And the people were waiting outside for Zechariah to come out, and they wondered how long it took him to come out. And when he came out and he was unable to speak, the people determined that he must have seen some sort of a vision. And of course, he informed his wife. He wrote things down. We read about that later on, to communicate. And Elizabeth, it says, conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." In other words, she concealed her pregnancy for 5 months, didn't tell anybody else, because perhaps maybe she didn't quite know to believe it herself, but she wanted to wait and see. And then in the first chapter of Luke, we read about the Annunciation to the Virgin Mary. And one of the signs, of course, the Virgin Mary did not ask for a sign. She just said, "Let it be unto me according to your words." But the Archangel Gabriel offered her a sign and told her that her cousin Elizabeth was with child. And of course, that was a sign because it was a very unlikely thing to have happened. And it says that Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste and to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then, of course, the Virgin Mary recites what's now known as the Magnificat, which is the ninth biblical ode or canticle, and it's one that we sing almost in every vigil, except for certain times when it's replaced by festal hymns. But one thing that most people who are aware of that don't know is that that ode is actually longer than what we usually sing. It actually concludes with the prophecy of Zechariah, which we'll read about and we'll talk about in just a moment. It says that when Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered and she brought forth a son, when her neighbors and relatives asked how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zechariah. His mother answered, said, no, he should be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. So they made signs to his father, Zechariah, what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all those things, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now in the second gospel reading, we read about what is alluded to. Christ was pronouncing his judgment on the scribes and the Pharisees, and he talked about how they were the slayers of the prophets. And he says, you know, fill up the full measure, you know, of the wrath that you have, that you're storing up. He says, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. What this is referring to, this is not recorded in Scripture explicitly, but the tradition of the church is that when Herod sent out his soldiers to slay the children in Bethlehem and in the area around Bethlehem, that having heard about St. John the Baptist's birth and its miraculous nature, they particularly made a point of seeking out John the Baptist. But his mother was warned by God and she fled into the mountains, and so they were unable to find her. So they went into to seek Zechariah, and they found him in the temple. And they asked him where his son was, and he said, I don't know where he is. And so they slew him between the temple and the altar, just as it said in this verse of Scripture. And so he's the most recent prophet that the Jews had slain, and that's what Christ was referring to here. Going back to when Zechariah's tongue was loosed, it says, now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Just last Sunday we were celebrating the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. But of course the church new year falls on September the 1st, old calendar, which is September the 14th on the civil calendar. And so we begin a new cycle liturgically, and so we're already talking again about John the Baptist, and in this case, his parents. Later on this month, the old calendar month of September, we celebrate the conception of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist was a preacher of repentance, and he did make way, prepare the way of the Lord. His warning was, the axe is already laid to the root of the tree, and any tree that doesn't bear fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. That's the warning to every generation, including ours, that we have to bring forth the fruit of repentance. But this prophecy that Zechariah uttered has one very interesting fact. He talks about the promise that God made to Abraham and the fulfillment of that. And how was it fulfilled? What was the promise? Well, the promise, of course, was that Christ would come, but what did Christ come to do? It says here that he would grant unto us that being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, we might serve him, God, without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Christ, through his death and resurrection, has delivered us out of the hand of our enemies, that is, the hand of the devil and his demons, out of the hands of the power of sin, out of the hands of the power of this world. And he's given us the power to live and to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. That's the call to each and every one of us. We don't have any excuse. We can't say we can't do it. Christ has come. Christ has given us that power. The covenant, the promises that God made to Abraham are fulfilled in Christ. And now it's only for us to believe that promise, to hear that promise without doubting, not to doubt or to question like Zechariah did, but to believe like the Virgin Mary did and say, let it be unto me according to your word. And let us strive to live that kind of life. And if we're not doing it, then we need to hear the words of St. John the Baptist and repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come, and it's come to give us the power to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. Amen.